I'd like to turn to Genesis 22. We read here Sunday morning and Sunday evening. I'd like to read again first 14 verses. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, said unto him, Abraham, and said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Again, this passage of Scripture serves as a beautiful type of God's gracious provision of a sacrifice instead of his people. And as we saw Sunday, this passage also serves as presenting to us many practical lessons for the life that we are called upon to live in the world. We viewed the passage as a lesson in faith. Certainly we see that throughout. We see it in Abraham. We see it in Isaac as well, though we just viewed it in Abraham. We also saw Sunday evening that this passage serves as a pattern of worship, what God commanded Abraham to do in verse 2. Abraham viewed it as an act of worship. We see from verse 5. So faith and worship are two of the lessons that we see here, and both, of course, faith and worship are essential to the life that we are called to live. But in this message, we want to put the emphasis upon verse 13. A ram caught in a thicket by his horns. We want to view this as a lesson of God's provision for his own. The vivid realization that God does provide for his own is essential to enjoying the life that God has called us to live. Sunday evening, after the message, Brother Eugene Rogers and I were talking, and He just made a statement. He said, it struck me that we all have a ram caught in the thicket. And when he said that, I've thought about it Sunday evening, thought about it Monday, Tuesday, and today. And that'll be the subject of the message. We all have a God-provided ram in the thicket. The passage opens, verse 1, of course, with God personally calling Abraham. Abraham responding to God, here I am. And then in verse 2, God instructing Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. It goes on in verse 3 to tell how that Abraham made preparation to obey this command. And we see Abraham, and we see Isaac, and we see two the young men of Abraham. They leave home, they leave their residence, and they move in the direction of Moriah. And when we come to verse 4, we see it's been 3 days. They arrive in the vicinity of the place where Isaac was to be offered. And upon arriving at that place, we see in verse 5 that Abraham says to the two young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now there's much there about worship. We also see there the faith of Abraham. We will come and come again to you. In verse 6, Abraham puts the wood for the burnt offering upon Isaac. And Abraham takes the means of starting the fire for the burnt offering. And he takes the knife that would be used in the burnt offering. And we read there in the at the end of verse 6, and they went both of them together. And what a beautiful picture that is. Abraham and Isaac going together to worship the Lord. As Abraham and Isaac are making their way to the God-appointed place, where Abraham was to offer Isaac as a burnt offering, we can see Isaac, he's carrying the wood that would be used in the burnt offering. Abraham's carrying the knife that would be used in the burnt offering. And Abraham is carrying the means to start the fire for the burnt offering. And as they're walking along, Isaac, in verse 7, asks Abraham, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham's response is recorded in verse 8. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for an offering. Now there's a lesson there also. Isaac believed his father. Isaac's not a little boy. Isaac believed his father, that's because his father had set an example before him. But that's not our point tonight. The more we read this, the more we see. But I imagine when Isaac asked this question, I see them stopping. And then Abraham gave the answer. Well, what makes you think, someone may ask, that they stopped? Well, because it's repeated again in verse 8, so they went both of them together. As if to say, so they continued on. And again, this is a heart-rending, heart-searching question for Abraham. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? So I believe they stopped. Abraham gives his answer. And then they both go together. And again, what a beautiful picture. Abraham and Isaac going together to this place. In verses 9 and 10, we see Abraham in the actual process of offering Isaac as a burnt offering. And we see that God intervened in verses 11 and 12. And as we pointed out Sunday, he called, in verse 1, he called his name once. In verse 2, he called him twice, Abraham, Abraham. And I believe that's significant. I believe Abraham was so intent and so focused on doing what God would have him to do there in verse 11 that God did call him twice. Abraham, Abraham. So God intervened. And then in verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. A ram caught in the thicket by his horns. This was the fulfillment. This was the reality of when Abraham said to Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And we need to picture that ram caught in a thicket. Because this is God's special provision for the moment at hand. Abraham was about to slay Isaac, but there was God's provision. So I want to consider two main things. First of all, God's miraculous provision for his own is presented to us throughout the Scriptures. And then secondly, we want to see the path that leads to God's special provision. Because I don't believe everybody experiences what Abraham experienced here. I believe every child of God can, but most don't. But first of all, consider God's provision for his own. We're all living proof that God provides for his own. All of creation is living proof that God is a provider. We live in a world, of course, that is filled with the enemies and the haters of God. It is a world that is filled with trouble. There's difficulty, sorrows of all kinds, suffering of all kinds, variety of affliction and adversities and problems, many, many things that would disturb individuals, live in the midst of innumerable needs, a place of tremendous strain, a place of tremendous stress. It is a world that if you live long enough, you will eventually find yourself in dire straits. That's the condition of this world. It is a world of numerous pitfalls. It's a world of innumerable traps. It is a place where there is one obstacle after another to spirituality. It is a place that can leave you maimed and scarred and wounded. It is a place of spiritual desolation. The world is a place of spiritual desolation. It is a spiritual wasteland that will leave you spiritually parched That is, if you're depending on this world to feed you spiritually, you will leave this world spiritually parched. You will leave this world spiritually dehydrated. It is a place of many dilemmas. It is a place of loneliness for those who strive to live spiritually. You're not going to find a lot of friends if you're striving for spirituality. It is a place of restlessness. It is a very unsettled place. The world, of course, has the ability to suck spirituality right out of an individual. The world has that ability. But in this world, it is in this world that we are called to live for God. It is in this world that we are called to worship God. And it is in this world that God has promised to provide for us. I'm talking about you and I as God's people. He knows what we need. He knows when we need it. And He has and is every resource that we will ever need. There is an abundance in Him. There is a plentitude in Him. We read in John 1 and verse 16, "And of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace, or grace upon grace, grace and then more grace. Yet He is no less full." He is our provider. Regardless of the changes of life, He has that which He has and is, that which will benefit us, that which will profit us, that which will feed us. He has and is that which will be of great help to us. He has and is that which will be of great encouragement to us. He has and is that which will strengthen us and rejuvenate us and comfort us and suffice us and prepare us and to instruct us. And all the instruction that Abraham received when he looked and behold a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. All what God taught him that day. And if you and I were more aware of God's provision for us, there are many things that we would learn. There are many lessons in every provision of God. But He has and He is everything to assure us. All the assurance that Abraham received that day. He has and is everything that we to draw us. And I believe Abraham was very close to God on his way to Moriah. He was very close to God as he and Isaac went to that place. And he was very close to God when he lifted his arm to slay Isaac. But he even got closer when he saw that ram caught in a thicket. He saw God's provision. God has and is that which will bring us peace and victory. And all the peace and the victory that Abraham had when he looked and there was a ram. And he can remember saying to Isaac, "God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And there it was. And all the peace, the victory that Abraham experienced that day. You see, God is sufficient. Whatever our circumstances are, He is sufficient. And He prepares a table for us, Psalm 23, verse 5. "Thou preparest a table before me, the the presence of my enemies. And God prepares a table with forethought, with care, with love, with wisdom. And He prepares a table especially for me. He prepares the table that I need. And at that table there is fellowship with God. At that table there is strength, there is comfort, there is peace, there is assurance. There's everything I need at that time, at that very table. And in your every care, and in your every burden, and in your every difficulty, and in your every problem, and in your every trial, and in your every battle, and in your every struggle, and your in your every emotion, and yes, even in your every sin, God has and is what we need. He's our provider. God has and is what is sufficient, what is satisfying and sustaining to us. All through the Bible, we see God's provision. All through the Bible, we have promise of God's provision. But sadly, the children of Israel are a portrait of most of God's people today. The children of Israel, for who they were, lived very unfulfilling spiritual lives. They wandered in endless circles for 40 years. They lived in bondage. They lived in defeat. They were weary. They were frustrated. They were discouraged. They were confused. They were restless. They were basically a joyless people. For the most part, they were spiritually numb, and they lived on the border of the blessings of God, failing to enjoy God's best for them. And again, sadly, that is a portrayal, a picture of many of God's people today. Now back to our text, verse 13. Notice Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold. He saw. He saw God's provision. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold. A word of expressing wonder and amazement. Behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. So Abraham saw God's provision. He recognized God's provision. How often we see what's right before us, but we do not see it as God's provision, or recognize it as such. Abraham was in the place where God led him. And the Lord led that particular ram at that particular time that He had for Abraham. He led that ram into that particular thicket. Perhaps that ram had been in that thicket before, but this day God would cause that ram to get entangled in that thicket. And He also caused Abraham to look up He caused Abraham to look behind him. He caused Abraham to see a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. That day Abraham saw God's provision. But he not only saw God's provision, it says that Abraham went and took the ram. He received. He took and he received God's provision. But he not only saw and he not only took and received God's provision. And oh, what a blessing it was when Abraham went over to that thicket and began to untangle that ram. And you can almost hear him saying, "See, son, I told you. I told you. God will provide. God will provide." Not only did he see and take God's provision, he benefited from it. He used it for what God would have him use it for. It says, "and offered him." He didn't waste God's provision. Oh, that we would never waste God's provision for us. God would have him, he used it for what God would have him use it for. And when he did, he enjoyed that. How do we know he enjoyed it? Well, it says he offered the ram up for the burnt offering in the stead of his son. I believe he enjoyed it. All the joy in that he had in receiving God's provision. Abraham and Isaac at that moment were enjoying God's best for them. What a wonderful time they had. I have a feeling that they didn't even want to come down from that mountain. What a time they had. God does provide. But consider the path to God's place of provision. There is a path. There is a way to God's special provision. You see, everyone wants God's provision, but they don't get to the place where they'll find it. They don't get to the place where God will provide. Everyone wants to experience what Abraham experienced, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. But they don't get to the God-appointed place of such an experience. Notice verse 2. When God instructed Abraham, he said, "Get thee into the land of Moriah." That was a very general direction. Get to the land of Moriah. He didn't just say, offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. He said, get to the land of Moriah. He said that first. He said, I want you to move in that direction and offer him there. Notice what it says. And offer him there. Nowhere else would do. There. For a burnt offering. Upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. In other words, Abraham, you follow this general direction, go toward the land of Moriah, and more explicit direction will come. You have to at least head in the general direction. And then God gives more explicit direction. You see, most of God's people want it all at once. You don't find God working that way too often in the Word of God. You take the first step, and then God will give you the instruction for the next. We want to know every step, and then we want to know how it's going to end and how we're going to feel afterwards. But Abraham must first head in the general direction of God's leading. And I believe as he did that, there would be more specific instruction. There would be more specific revealing from God. But there was only one place that Abraham was to go. One place. Moriah, and upon one of those mountains, unknown to Abraham at this time, I will show thee. Now this is true in everyday life. The following of God's leading will always bring you to the right place. You do not get to the wrong place by following God's leading. Following God's leading will bring you to the right place. It will bring you to a particular place. It will bring you to a special place. A special place of God's miraculous and extraordinary provision. Notice in 1 Kings 17, we've preached on this several times, but first we have a good example in the life of Elijah. 1 Kings 17. There was going to be a famine in the land. God promised Elijah that he would take care of him during this time of famine. I need to get in the right book here. During this time of famine, God would take care of Elijah. But in verse 3, he says, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. There. Elijah, you've got to get there, because that is where the ravens are going to. I will feed thee there. Well, what if I go somewhere else? You're going to go hungry. I will feed thee there. Had to get there. This isn't just a blanket promise. God will provide your needs, Elijah. You have to get to this place. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread in the flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Verse 9, the brook dries up. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. We have to get to God's place where He will provide. And the way to do that, of course, is to follow God's direction. And we read in back in Genesis 21, verse 34, getting back to Abraham. Again, had Elijah gone anywhere else, he would not have experienced the ravens feeding him. If he would have went anywhere else other than Zarephath, he would not have experienced what he experienced in Zarephath. In Genesis 21, 34, we read, Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines many days. He was just living his life. And then in Genesis chapter 22, there is a very perplexing, there is a very troubling turn of events. There is a very unexpected and an inconceivable and unspeakable turn of events. But in the midst of the mind-boggling turn of events. God told him of a path. And in that path, God didn't tell him that night, but in that path, there would be a ram caught in the thickets by his horns. And it's always so. It's always so. You follow God's path. Somewhere, there is a ram caught in the thicket. Somewhere, there is God's provision. When God said to Abraham, "Get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there," he was not merely telling Abraham what to do. He was revealing to Abraham, though Abraham didn't know it at this time, God didn't tell him. But he was revealing to Abraham the path of his special provision. And that's what God is doing to you and I. When he tells us something, he is revealing to us the path that will lead to his special provision, to where we can have a special experience of God. During this major and very trying turn of events in Abraham's life, as we saw Sunday morning, Abraham stepped out with God. And for 3 days, he went in the direction that God led him. And may I say, that is always going in the right direction. You do not let anyone, you do not let anything convince you otherwise. You go in the direction that God leads, and God always leads in accordance with His Word. You go in that direction, you're always going in the right direction. I don't care what happens on the way, you're still going in the right direction. You may lose everything, you're still going in the right direction. Your family may die, you're still going in the right direction. Don't let anyone convince you that following God is the wrong direction. I'm here to tell you, you can go in the opposite direction, and from human appearance, everything is working fine, but I want you to know you're going in the wrong direction. So as long as we're moving in the direction that God tells us to move, we're heading to the right place. If we stay in that path, we'll end up in the right place. So Abraham stepped out with God. He was moving along for 3 days by the direction of God. During that 3 days, no doubt he was the recipient of God's sustaining grace. He knew why he was going to Moriah. He is going there to offer his son Isaac for a burnt offering. And you knew the devil was working on his mind, and you knew his natural inclinations were working. I'm telling you that God gave him sustaining grace for those 3 days. And God also gave him revelation. Because in verse 4 we read, "On the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place." Saw the place afar off. Well, how did he know? How did he know that this was the place? How did he know this was the mountain? Remember back in verse 1. "Upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Because as Abraham is traveling along, God said, "Abraham, it's that mountain right there." God told him. He's going in the direction of God, and God gave him further instruction. The end result of stepping out with God, the end result of going and continuing in the direction of God, was the experiencing of God's miraculous provision. A ram caught in the thicket by his horns. He would not have experienced that anywhere else. What if Abraham would have just chosen another mountain? There would not have been a ram caught in the thicket upon any other mountain. It was upon that mountain. It was upon that mountain. So the end result was that he experienced this ram caught in the thicket, which is God's provision. No matter what your circumstances, no matter how perplexed you may be, no matter how much you do not understand your circumstances, and no matter how much you do not understand the instruction of God, and you will never ever convince me that Abraham understood the instruction of God. But he believed God. He believed God. Step, whatever it is, step out with God. Keep going in the direction that God leads. And you will eventually come to a very special place. A place where there will be a ram caught in a thicket. You will experience God's miraculous provision. You will experience that which will fill you with amazement and wonder. Again, he said, and behold, a ram caught in a thicket. When on this path, in the direction of God's leading, we ought to anticipate wonderful things. It's sad when God's people view the leadings of God as something dreadful. When you're on that path and you're following the road that God would have you to go down, you ought to anticipate wonderful things. Because somewhere there's going to be a ram caught in a thicket. What a blessing. A ram caught in a thicket. What an exciting adventure is possible for the child of God heading in the direction of the Lord. Yet how often God's people miss out on God's best for them because they refuse to move and abide in God's direction. I wonder how many rams in a thicket we have missed. You got to get to that place. Also, many want, you not only have to get to that place, many want to experience what Abraham experienced, the ram caught in the thicket, but they want to do it on their terms. They want to do it on their terms. Praise God that He does provide in an extraordinary way, but He does so on His terms. He always does. He always does. Abraham heard the voice of God. Back in verse 1, Abraham was sensitive to that voice. He was responsive to that voice. When he said, "Here I am," that manifests that he was available to God. He didn't hear that voice and run and hide. He said, "Here I am." Which shows that he desired to hear further from God. When God calls you by name, our immediate response ought to be, "Lord, I'm listening." And our immediate desire ought to be, I mean, He's called us by name. He didn't just say that for the sake of saying our name. It ought to be our desire to hear more from Him. He's got something to tell us. And he was submissive to God. "Here I am." The end result of all that is verse 13. That's the end result. Abraham stepped out in faith, in obedience to God's instruction. And the end result is verse 13. Abraham continued on that path, going in God's direction. 3 days. Had to do that with faith and obedience. And he had to keep his ears open, listening for further instruction from God. And the end result is verse 13. A ram caught in a thicket. Abraham arrived at the place that God told him of. And may I say that he arrived there in a right spirit and a right condition. And as a result, he was willing to let go of Isaac. He was willing to give all to God. The end result, verse 13. You can't get a better path than God's path. Because verse 13 is the end result. Not only is all this true in everyday life, but it's also true in regards to the fact that God has a special place of provision for His people in the house of God. I believe in the house of God there's a ram caught in a thicket. That is God's provision for us. And just as Abraham made preparation to be in the right spirit and condition and head to that place, that God-ordained place, in a right spirit and condition, and retained a right spirit and condition on his way to that place for 3 days, and he arrived at that place in a right spirit and a right condition. And then he retained a right spirit and condition while in that place. And if we'll do that, if we'll make preparation to be in a right spirit and a right condition and head to God's place of worship in a right spirit and a right condition and retain that spirit and condition on our way here, that means you're not getting in an argument with your wife. You're not getting angry at some crazy driver. You are retaining a right spirit and right condition. You arrive in the parking lot in a right spirit and a right condition. You walk in the door in a right spirit and a right condition. You take your place in the pew and you still retain a right spirit and a right condition. And all through the preaching, you retain a right spirit and a condition. I'm telling you, you're going to see a ram caught in the thicket. You're going to be blessed. You'll be able to see. It's amazing. Some people see things, see spiritual food, and others get absolutely nothing. Nothing. Same food served. It's amazing what we'll see when we go to that place in a right condition. We'll not only receive it, we'll benefit from it, and we'll enjoy it. That's what happened with Abraham. For our benefit and profit, in closing, God provides a ram caught in a thicket. In order to feed us, in order to bring us the help, the encouragement that we need, in order to strengthen us and rejuvenate us and comfort us and suffice us and prepare us for whatever He has, we have to realize God knows what's coming 6 months from now in our lives. And if you follow God's path today, you'll be amazed how prepared you'll be. God prepares us. He instructs us. He assures us. He draws us. He blesses us. He fills our life with peace and victory. He does this by simply providing what we need. And I'm not speaking mainly of material things that's included, but I'm speaking mostly upon spiritual things. God provides. God provides a ram caught in a thicket. And back in verse 2, God did not tell Abraham, "Abraham, go to such and such a mountain in Moriah. There I want you to offer Isaac for an offering." And look at the fear of Abraham's face and say, "Oh, calm down, Abraham, don't worry about a thing, because when you get there, there's going to be a ram caught in a thicket," and just laid it all out. He didn't do that. And he doesn't do that for us. That's why this life is lived by faith. And we just have to step out with God. But we need to ask ourselves, do we continually experience a ram caught in a thicket? Do we continually experience going over and taking that ram and using it for what God put it there for? That particular ram was used to offer in the stead of Isaac. What if Abraham would have used it for something else? Would have been a waste. Would have been a waste. It's amazing how God provides materially for many and they misuse it. That's a waste. That's a waste of God's provision. Are we moving in the direction of a ram caught in a thicket? You get on that path and you just keep moving. And you just keep following God's direction. And you keep telling yourself, "I know, I don't see it yet, but I know. If I stay on this path, somewhere there's a ram caught in a thicket. And you know what? It'll be just when you need it. It won't be necessarily when you think you need it. It'll be just when you need it." When Abraham and Isaac got to the mountain, the first thing they saw was not a ram caught in a thicket. They built the altar, spread the wood, Abraham bound Isaac. When through all of that, Abraham lifted the knife to slay his son, and just at the right time, here comes a ram and gets caught in a thicket. That's how God provides. He provides in a timely manner. We ought to be ashamed of all the ways that we question God's timing. God provides in a timely manner. God knows what He's doing. Let's trust Him. Brother Tim.